Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You've waited all week long for the ship to arrive. Well, it's here. The Ship with Darren Smith, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You saw fun and games till we get into the ring, and then you find out who's softer than Aquafina. If you can't stand the heat, stay away from my arena, cause all I bring is heat. You can call me Jalapeno, keep my name out your mouth unless you're trying to sing. I can laze that you get from seeing a champion. Belt, trophy, your ring, if you gotta show your bling, then tune in to the Ship where we talk about it, man. But if you tune in, you better know it's showtime. And every time he speak, man, he gonna speak his mind. Keeping the straight facts while others, they just assume. We're keeping it 100 while faking there's no room. With the loudest interviews and the hottest guests, you done dealt with the rest, now roll with the best. But before I forget, let me get back to the script. Introduce you to the host of the Ship, Darren Smith.
Good evening, and thank you for staying up this time of the night. This is Darren Smith, host of the Ship here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so very much. Those of you all listening to us either on the radio, on your mobile devices, on the internet, or even watching us on social media, I'm Darren Smith. I am live coming to you on location. I'm actually sitting on the couch in my hotel room in Las Vegas for the Chiefs, getting prepared, obviously, for Chiefs Raiders week here in Las Vegas. A nice little takeover this week. I flew out earlier today. I was on a plane full of Chiefs fans who came out to Las Vegas, I guess, to come be like me, I guess, do some gambling, enjoy the city nightlife here in Las Vegas, and, of course, enjoy the Chiefs this Sunday taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Of course, that game will be taking place at Allegiant Stadium with a 7:20 local Kansas City time kickoff on Sunday Night Football on NBC. And, of course, here locally, the game will kick off at 5:20 in the afternoon. Joining me this evening to talk about this and so much more tonight, Mr. Tyler Jones, on-air personality at KLWN out of Lawrence, Kansas. Tyler, good evening to you.
Darren, good to talk to you, man. You left me behind. I thought we were going to Vegas, man. I was ready to go, man.
Hey, look, man. when it comes to traveling, man, I don't look. I ask once. If you say no, I keep it pushing. Also joining us on the show, of course, he is the sports director for KOTV ABC 7 down in Tyler, Texas, the home of our Super Bowl MVP quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, Mr. Michael Coleman. Michael, good evening to you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're good.
We are doing okay. Obviously, I will say we're doing much better than the Las Vegas Raiders. I know right now they've placed a lot of their defensive players on the COVID-19 list this week. Now, I'm sitting here looking at the news here locally. It looks as though that a lot of the they didn't have any positive tests today, so they could end up having some of their defensive players coming back on this Sunday to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And right now they have 10 of the 11 players that are on defense, which includes Corey Littleton, Cleveland Farrell, Arden Key, Kendall Vickers, David Irving, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, safety Jonathan Abrams, LaMarcus Joyner, and cornerback Isaiah Johnson. And on the offensive side of the ball, Trent Brown. So, of course, obviously, at the moment, the game is scheduled to continue to go as is on this Sunday night. Now, the Chiefs are a 7-point favorite right now. Hopefully, they will cover the spread with the money that I have on this game, Tyler. But looking at this game, of course, the Chiefs, they lead the all-time series by 12 games, 65-53-2. They won five of the past six games. But the last time these two teams met, Raiders upset, knocked the Chiefs off, who had won, I believe, 13 games in a row. Knocked them off in October, 40-32 at Arrowhead Stadium. Tyler, what can we expect in this rematch this Sunday night?
Well, we know that Andy Reid is incredible when it comes to responding to bye week. And when you look at this game of, you know, looking for revenge against the Raiders here, I think the Chiefs are going to deliver a statement on Sunday night. I expect them to pull out all the stops. I think we've seen this team play at about 70 to 75% of what they're capable of so far throughout this season. And I think that we'll see closer to that 90 to 95% mark. I think they're going to lay everything out on the line because you look at the first matchup and it was very rare that we talk about somebody not only just beating the Chiefs, but also the fact beating the Chiefs in the fashion that the Raiders did of going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs offensively. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you realize you have to play your A game now, that you can't hold anything back in this case. The thing I'm looking for the Chiefs, though, where I see this game being different, though, is that you look back at that first matchup, and the Raiders had to throw the football because Josh Jacobs was a little dinged up. He wasn't 100%. Now you got a Josh Jacobs that's 100%, that looks like one of the best backs in the National Football League. I think the Raiders are going to play a different style in the sense of that they're going to run the ball first to open up the play-action pass and try to expose that Chiefs poor run defense. I think that's going to be the key for the Chiefs, is they're really going to have to slow down Josh Jacobs defensively. That's going to be the number one priority for them on that side of the ball.
Michael, as Tyler has said, obviously the Chiefs' run defense has been something that they've been sorely lacking thus far this season. They've been off and on. Some games they'll shut down the run. Other games, teams have run wild. Obviously, Josh Jacobs, as you mentioned before, he rushed for 77 yards and two touchdowns the last time these two teams played. But how much of a factor is it going to be? And I agree with Tyler that they are going to have to run the ball, obviously, keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And I know Sterling hates when I talk about ball control, but when you look at that, the Raiders are really going to have to score a lot of points, and they're going to need ball control because depending on how their defense looks and who they have back for on the defensive side of the ball, because, again, right now they have 10 starters that are out for this game unless they all end up testing negative by Sunday evening. This game could get out of hand, obviously, if you're Kansas City, with a defense from the Raiders that's pretty much going to be on life support right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough to beat the same team twice, obviously. And I'm pretty sure Gruden and company are going to try the same method to a degree. But I think Andy Reid and Mahomes and that offense is going to take them out of their game plan. They're going to be forced to throw. They're going to say, we want to see if your guy can beat us with his arm. And I think this will be a different game than what it was weeks ago or a month ago or whatever it was. And like I said, they're going to try to jumpstart the offense with that run game to open up the passing game. But I just don't think they're going to be in position to throw when they want to throw. They're going to be forced to throw in a hurry, because what they don't want to do is get this game out of hand at home in Vegas to the Chiefs. And when the game is over, the Raiders are going to say, "Didn't we beat these guys last time?" Because I think they're going to put a whooping on them. I really, really do. I think they can put some points on them this weekend.
Now, Tyler, I look back to that last meeting. I was at Arrowhead when these two teams played, and I was thoroughly shocked. Obviously, they messed up my 19-0 prediction. They messed up my bets for the day. But one of the things that the Chiefs really didn't prepare for that I do believe that we might get another dose of is the rookie wide receiver Henry Ruggs. I know that game, I think he had a career high 118 yards receiving. I know he had a touchdown in that game against the Chiefs. That's something, of course, speed that they see only on a daily basis against the Tyreek Hill, but somehow, some way,
oop, looks like we lost Darren for a second.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but occasionally, oh, he's back. We got him back now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I apologize about that, Tyler. But Tyler, as I was saying, Henry Ruggs, performed well the last time these two teams played along with Darren Wallace. So offensively for the Raiders, yeah, they do have the weapons and they do have everything that you want in an offense to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs if you're a Raiders fan. Again, with the defense that we've been trotting out there, obviously you want to do, and I expect Steve Spagnuolo to change the defense this time around to obviously to go up against the run game against the Raiders.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case, that they'll be well prepared, and I think that's where those that bye week is going to be big for this Chiefs team. You look back at last season, when they went in the second half of the year, in particular the month of December, that defense was a whole nother ball game. They were a whole lot better last year in that second half of the year compared to the first half of the year. This year, the Chiefs defense has been good, not great, not bad, but I think that you're looking for this defense to take that next big step. And I think that they could deliver a statement on Sunday here and really, you know, give Derek Carr lots of fits and try to shut down that run game. You know, before this last matchup, we were all saying how much the Chiefs had Derek Carr's number and just how much they'd owned him and such here. I think that you're going to see them go back to giving Derek Carr the fits that they've been accustomed to in previous years against the Raiders.
All right. I'm live in Las Vegas at the Venetian. So if y'all want to come down, don't come down tonight now, because after I get off the show at 10 o'clock here locally, midnight there, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. My body is still on Kansas City time. And Mike, I learned a valuable lesson. You cannot mix dark liquor and light liquor together at the same time. So, you know, you learn a thing or two when you take your shots out here tonight. Well, you know, look, taking shots with some Chiefs fans, I'm like, hey, I wasn't buying, so, you know, it is what it is. But we do have a caller. If you want to join in, you can give us a call at 913-3810-810. We have Butch on the line. Butch, good evening to you.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going well. I mean, I'm in Vegas, so I'm good.
Yeah, Smith, I hear you on that one, my brother. Yeah, back in my day, I went to the University of Missouri. I mixed my fair share of dark and light liquors together. Let me tell you, it's a headache the next morning.
Okay,
man.
I appreciate it. See, Mike, I'm not alone in this. So,
what's going on? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's your question, Butch?
Man, I was just going to make a couple quick points. I'll let y'all digest this. Look, you're absolutely right. When we go against this matchup with the Raiders, what really got us into a lot of trouble, like I talked about on a couple after post-game shows on that game. Look, Derek Carr, that's the best game I've probably ever seen him have. You know, that was 2016 Derek Carr, that MVP Derek Carr that we saw. And, you know, the running game is going to be there for the Raiders. What they did, they whipped us up front. Okay, I don't think I heard Chris Jones' number called. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I heard Tershawn Wharton's name called. And that's going to have to change on Sunday if we don't want to get ran out of the building, because that's what that offense can do. They are good enough. We need to stop talking about the Raiders like they're not a good team. They're a good team. They're a good offensive team. And they smoked us. They got behind us. Nelson Aguilar is catching the football. I can't believe it. Henry Ruggs was healthy that game. He got behind us, too. It was too easy. So this game, Steve Spagnuolo is going to try to keep the pressure on. They're going to have to win on the defensive line of scrimmage a little bit, but they can't let anybody run behind them. They're going to have to step up, challenge these wide receivers. I think they'll be game for that. They get 2 to 3 stops. We want to put this on, guys. I'll let you discuss this. How many stops do they need to be? 4? 5? I say 4 stops, and we win, because our offense is going to run right through them. Hot knife through butter, they're not going to be able to stop us. They're going to have to be able to keep up. They're going to have to throw to do so. I say 4 stops, and we win. Thank you.
But, Butch, I appreciate that. I'm going to say that the Chiefs are going to get 3 stops. Now, look, the key to this game is that, one, the Chiefs, I know with Andy Reid, I believe he's like either 18-3 or 9-3 following a bye in his career. I think at one time he had only lost one game. So, look, I expect him to win this game. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium. Look, it's hard to imagine that these teams, you know, actually look at something like that and keep that in the back of their mind, like that's gonna, make them play better. But if I'm Andy Reid, one thing I'm sure that they are going to do, they're going to make sure that they at least beat them by a minimum of 2 touchdowns. Now, again, they're 7-point favorites. I'm betting on them to cover and then some. But I don't think that this game is going to be as close as the last game was, which, of course, Kansas City lost, which was also the first loss Patrick Mahomes has suffered by more than 7 points. Mike, you agree, disagree, or say you?
Well, yeah, they're going to run the score. They're going to put some points on the board. They're going to make a statement early. And then, you know, and I, again, you're talking about the lap around the stadium or whatever. You know, it's good copy. I saw what Gruden had said earlier this week regarding a smart aleck bus driver in Kansas City. You can find one. Maybe it was for him, as he said. But, you know, Gruden likes those little games. He likes that kind of stuff. But I just think this is going to be when this game is over, it's going to be hard to believe that the Raiders beat Kansas City at Arrowhead after Sunday.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think the game's at Arrowhead. I think it's at Allegiant. I mean, in Las Vegas.
No. So. I mean, no. What I'm saying is the way the Raiders beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, folks are going to shake their heads and ask, "How did that happen?" In Kansas City.
Now, Tyler, if you're Andy Reid, now I believe obviously that he and John Gruden, you know, they get along, but do you think Andy Reid, and I don't know, maybe just me, maybe I'm just petty. I've been known to be very petty in my lifetime, but if you're Andy Reid, if you win this game, Jay, don't laugh. But if you're Andy Reid, do you take a victory lap around Allegiant Stadium after the game?
No, I would not worry about doing something like that. I mean, you already have the Chiefs jersey at midfield buried into their stadium by a Chiefs fan. I mean, that's kind of the better story, I think, the fact that it's going to be there forever. So, no, you just move on and let that be and leave things from there. I didn't think the victory lap was that big of a deal. I thought it was very much blown out of proportion and just gave us something to talk about for a couple of days. Wasn't that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
I'm not going to lie. And look, I like petty stuff like that. That's just me. I mean, obviously, it's good copy for us. But in all seriousness, no, I do like petty stuff like that because you kind of need stuff to kind of keep the rivalry going because you got to remember, you know, I mean, the Chiefs have been beating Oakland or the Raiders for the last 3-4 years, you know, with ease. And so for the fact that they've been able to, you know, I guess the Raiders finally come to Kansas City and win a game, in the manner in which they did, look, I don't have a problem with the victory lap. I think that adds to the fuel. I think that adds fuel to the fire. Tyler, before we get you out of here, what's the score on Sunday's game?
I think the Chiefs win this game. I'll say that they pulled this one off. Let's say 31-17. Is the final score. The Chiefs play really well defensively. I think that's the statement that they make more than anything is really slow down the Raiders. I think, you know, Mahomes and company is going to play really well offensively. But it's what the defense does, slow down Josh Jacobs and Derek Carr, that will deliver that message and will be a big-time win. And Darren, I'm glad you're having a good time in Vegas, but I got to tell you, I cannot wait till next year when we can go out there to this game and see the Chiefs Kingdom take over Allegiant Stadium and then do it in L.A. at the new SoFi Stadium against the Chargers and such. I think this is going to be two fun annual visits in the future there in the AFC West where the Chiefs could have potentially two additional home games essentially with just takeovers of fan bases down the road. So, Raiders, this will be your last time having some home field of some sorts there in your own stadium for the foreseeable future.
Tyler, I thought about this, and I'm sorry because I can't let you go just yet. KU last night, I hate to switch the subject, but I got to get your thoughts on it. Udoka Azubuike was drafted in the first round last night. I believe Devon Dotson was signed with the Bulls as an unrestricted rookie free agent last night after the game. I just want to get your thoughts. I know we both cover KU, so I want to get your thoughts on that before we got out of here.
Well, I'm happy for Doak. He went about as high as he possibly could have, and he goes to a good organization. And the Utah Jazz. The Jazz have been a team that's been in the playoffs the last several years. And to get to play alongside Rudy Gobert, I know Gobert is a knucklehead for how he handled the coronavirus, but he's a heck of a ball player. And he'll learn a lot from being alongside Gobert. So I like that for him being there in Utah. For Devon, I hated it that he didn't get drafted. I mean, he should have been drafted. He was an All-American. 6'2". He's got the height. He's got the size. He can shoot. I don't know what the NBA was looking for. I feel bad for him that he didn't get drafted. I thought that he was even a first-round talent. The fact that he didn't get drafted just blows my mind. But if he didn't get drafted, the fact that he did end up with his hometown Chicago Bulls, he grew up a big Derrick Rose fan. That was his idol. That's cool. So he gets the two-way contract. I'm happy in that sense that it worked out for him to stay home and be with a team that is trying to find young talent. He's going to have a real opportunity to succeed and get playing time right away there with that Chicago team. So that's what we're looking at for both those guys there, and wish them nothing but the best. And Kansas basketball starting a week from today when they take on number one Gonzaga. I know we're spending a lot of time talking Chiefs, and rightfully so, but you know, we're going to have some great KU basketball here in the coming days as they try to repeat as national champions, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, they, of course, that game is next week, next Thursday, actually, Thanksgiving. And then, of course, they open up the season again with the Champions Classic in Indianapolis, Indiana, as well on December the 1st. So two big games for KU coming up in the next 2 weeks. And, of course, KU football against Texas postponed this Saturday as well. So not that I was going to be missing that game at all. But, but yeah, that game is off the set. Mike, before we go to break, who you got winning between Chiefs and the Raiders?
Well, I got the Chiefs winning. And I got them putting up 33 points to their 20, but it won't even be like that. The score will not be indicative of the domination the KC's going to have over the Raiders.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick timeout. Come back, Mike. You and I will take a look at the NBA. And, of course, we'll also get a look at some of these other NFL games this weekend. And kind of, I don't know if you saw that Thursday night game, but Arizona Cardinals kind of pissed me off. But Isaiah Simmons had a great game for a local kid back home. Keep it locked into the ship right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right. Welcome back to the ship here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Darren Smith with you live. From Las Vegas, Nevada, doing a show out here tonight. Of course, in town for the Chiefs-Raiders game. Of course, a lot of folks, again, from Kansas City flew out today and will continue to fly out over the weekend as they decide to take over Las Vegas in honor of the Chiefs taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike, one of the things I missed talking about earlier is that Bo P. Keys and Eric Fisher returned to practice today in full capacity for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mike Remmers, Rashad Finn, and Sammy Watkins were limited. And Taco Charlton, along with Darrell Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Mitchell Schwartz, did not practice today. I do believe that Mecole Hardman is still on the COVID-19 reserve list. So at the moment, like I said, I believe that Taco Charlton probably will not play. I believe he's out because I think he did fracture his leg against the Panthers a couple of weeks ago. But Mecole Hardman, I don't expect him to play Sunday. I know on the Zoom call earlier today, Dave Tobe did mention that they will probably have Tyreek Hill returning kicks. Now, as good as he is, I know he hasn't done it in a minute, but I'm not sure if that's really a wise move to have him returning kicks against the Raiders, knowing how much he's going to be expending on the offensive side of the ball. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, mixed on that. I mean, obviously, I mean, if he has the ability, I know you're not doubting that at all. I know that.
No, not at all.
But I mean, I don't see a problem with it. I mean, you know, it used to be a time when that sight wasn't so unusual, you know. And I think if nothing else, psychologically, you know, it tells the Raiders, oh, we have to deal with him in this situation too, kind of deal. Especially a lot of the guys that don't get a chance to get a lot of reps, and they're, you know, the guys who are on the special teams, you know they're not making no tackle. They're gonna be, you know, because that's why they, you know, they're on special teams. But no, I think it'd be a boost. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Now, Mike, you of course you cover the Dallas Cowboys. I know they were off.
Are you concerned about injury? Are you concerned about him getting hurt?
Well, look, obviously, because of the magnitude of the game, obviously, look, the Raiders, they're number 5 in the AFC, the Chiefs are number 2. you need to have, you know, all hands on deck now. And we saw what Byron Pringle was able to do on kickoff returns, which is why McColl is no longer doing the kickoff. We have Byron Pringle now. Dave Tobe also said that not McColl, but he also said that DeMarcus Robinson could return kicks as well as Rashad Finn. So they have other players that can do it, but I think he did say that his first option would be Tyreek Hill. My only inclination is that knowing what you're going, what you're hoping to get from Tyreek on the offensive side of the ball, why risk an injury, you know, on the off chance that he gets injured returning a kick for Kansas City? That's my only main concern.
Yeah, and I understand the concern. I don't know. They're football players. You know, they're football players. And I think sometimes fans and media get so wrapped up in, well, limit you because we don't want you to get hurt. Hey, they're football players, dude. They know what they're doing.
No, but what I'm saying, Mike, again, you know, like Byron Pringle, if he's not going to get that many reps on the offensive side of the ball, allow him to return the kickoffs and the punt, you know, and the punts. That's my versus just trying to keep him there.
Okay, that context unaware of, and you're right. So yeah, if he's there, you know, why go by this guy to get to the guy? So yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I would do as well. And look, I believe that Tyreek Hill could do it. I mean, I don't have any doubt. I mean, you know, when he came in last year, you saw, there's not going to be any fans at the stadium, but the difference that he made against the Minnesota Vikings last year when they thought that he was going to return the ball and they ended up kicking the ball out of bounds just because they didn't want him returning it. So, I mean, look, I get it, but obviously this is a game that, you know, that the Raiders feel that they can win because they've already got a win over Kansas City. So why again put yourself at a disadvantage? And having Tyreek back there more than likely is generally an advantage, but because he hasn't returned any kicks this season, I just wouldn't do it. You know, I just wouldn't do it because now it looks like you're desperate versus just pulling out all the other options that you have with players who can return kicks in McColl Hardman's absence.
Well, no, if you've got capable guys in, you know, position to make that, you know, to do the kick returns, that's who you put in. And, you know, I thought maybe somebody was hurt and that's why they were. Like, I thought that was like break glass in case of emergency situation with Tyreek Hill. Unless they're just trying to, you know, play with the heads of the Raiders.
Now, Mike, I got to ask you because I know you cover the Cowboys and they were off last week along with the Chiefs. They played Minnesota Vikings right before the Chiefs game with the late afternoon game Sunday on Fox. What do they look like? Who's going to be starting for them? I know Minnesota, they've been on a little run lately, Mike. I know they just knocked off the Chicago Bears on Monday night. What can we expect from your Cowboys on Sunday?
Well, they haven't talked too much. They've been talking about the COVID because, you know, the NFL said everybody needs to, you know, be more secure. And Mike McCarthy has talked a great deal about what their game plan is for the staff and for the players. For the rest, the remainder of the season, and I know the big talk also is, are they tanking? And somebody brought up a scenario where, if it comes down to them and the Giants, you want them to lose to the win to the Giants because they'll get the number three pick. Jerry. Ever about how much time Jerry doesn't have left. That's been the big impetus why he wants to win a Super Bowl. They haven't announced who their quarterback's going to be yet. It won't be DiNucci. I'm pretty sure it won't be him.
Will it not be Dalton, Andy Dalton or what?
Yeah, it'll be either Dalton or the kid that came in off the practice squad for Cleveland. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Dalton, you know. You know the saying, because Dak ain't walking in that door anytime soon. But you know,
Dak ain't doing no walking anytime soon.
you got that right. So I bet you it's going to be Dalton, and they'll go from there. You know, This could be an interesting matchup with them and the Vikings. You got Cousins back there, and you got the Cook kid. I've got a feeling that these guys, I don't know, man. I might put a W by them. It'd be a fluke. It'd be
by
an
who?
FW, a fluke win. But it's going to be interesting to see how they respond, what they're going to do. They've been off for a week. They've been hearing people talk noise about them and all of that. Let's see how they handle that. You've had a week off, you know, just like Philly did, and they still got beat with the week off they had. So let's just see what they're going to be able to try to do.
All right, Mike, want to go through this right quick, obviously because we only got about 15 minutes left in the show, but I do want to get these picks, of course. I got some bets in while I'm out here in Vegas. I mean, you can't come out here and not make bets, but fortunately, you know, I try to hedge my bets on all things. I had Arizona winning a lot tonight, but I had Seattle winning a fair share as well. So Philadelphia, Cleveland, what say you? Who should I bet on for Sunday's game?
I'm even having to think about this one. I'm just not.
Cleveland's at home. I don't trust Carson.
Well, I don't trust
Philly.
Philly
had a chance to win it, and he didn't.
I got Philly beating Cleveland. Yeah,
really?
That's what I have. Yeah.
You disappoint me, Mike. Okay, I got Cleveland winning this. Atlanta, New Orleans.
Really? What's the line, Mr. Vegas?
3 points for Cleveland. They're a 3-point favorite at home.
Interesting. All right, we're going to see.
Now, New Orleans is a 4-point favorite at home over the Falcons, and obviously, Drew Brees is going to be out of this game. 5 fractured ribs, a collapsed lung. Looks like Jameis Winston is going to get the start in this game. But, you know, as much as Jameis Winston could probably fling the ball, Atlanta, they've won 4 out of the last 5 games since they fired, since they fired their former head coach, and Raheem Morris has been doing pretty good, as the interim coach down there. So I can see Atlanta pulling the upset, but New Orleans, they need to keep the win up, and you know they need to stay ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I do see them winning this game.
You see New Orleans winning?
New Orleans winning.
Or Atlanta
and
winning.
Covering the 4-point spread. No, I got New Orleans winning, covering the 4-point spread.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure. I've got Atlanta losing to New Orleans.
All right, next up, I got Cincinnati and Washington. I got Alex Smith pulling out the win this Sunday at home against Cincinnati. Now, he passed for 390 yards last week, Mike. Didn't get any ends on it all, but he did play well. He impressed me. I still don't like him, but he did play well in the loss against Detroit last week. I do believe he gets his first win back this Sunday.
I think Joe Burrow going to have a good day. I'm going to go with Joe and the Bengals.
Mike, you do know that Washington has like a top 2 defense, right?
Well, let's see if that defense shows up this week.
Okay. All right, next up, you got Detroit at Carolina. I'm not sure what the status is of Teddy Bridgewater, but either way, I do have Detroit winning this game on the road against the Carolina.
Yeah,
Panthers.
I think Bridgewater's injury was not that big of a deal, but it seemed pretty optimistic. But even without him, I've got I got Carolina over Detroit.
All right, now next up, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Jacksonville had no business keeping the game that close against the Green Bay Packers. As we screwed my parlays all the way up. But I got Pittsburgh winning this game against Jacksonville.
Upset alert. I got Jacksonville beating Pittsburgh.
Oh, Mike, I taught you much better than this.
Pittsburgh is like, you know, they're hanging in there, they're unbeaten, all that good stuff, all those headlines. Jacksonville, they don't read newspapers. They say, look, we got these guys. I got to go opposite of you, so I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
You don't have to, but you did. But now, before we go to break, I got it. Now, this is the game that – this is the game that's going to tie me. This is a game that's probably going to cost me money one either way. Tennessee-Baltimore. Both of these teams, I believe they're 6-3. Both the teams, they've been on the downside these last 2-3 weeks, Mike. Who do I go with, Tennessee or Baltimore in this game?
I'll go with Baltimore, dude, at home.
I mean, they've been at home, but Pittsburgh beat them too. All right. Okay. I'll go with Baltimore in this game.
Pittsburgh's a different level.
Now, Baltimore's a 5-point favorite, too, so.
When they'll be in their element,
does that matter at all?
They'll be comfortable. Won't be no surprises. So Baltimore's going to take down Tennessee.
All right, Mike, we got bills to pay. Let me take a quick timeout so we can close out the show, because I am here in Las Vegas and I got to go hit the crap tables before I go to bed tonight. Keep it locked into the ship right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the ship here on Sports Radio 810 at WHB. Darren Smith with you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Site of the Chiefs coming to get their revenge on the Las Vegas Raiders this Sunday night on Sunday Night Football from Allegiant Stadium. Mike, before we get out of here, I do got to make this quick announcement, and that is that Gates Barbecue, of course, they are going to be serving turkey legs along. You can get you a yammer pie for $8.95. That's going to be going on through the holiday season, so make sure you can stop by any one of the 5 locations in Kansas City, and also know that you can get their wings, their world-famous wings, at the main location on 31st and Main. So I had to make sure that I put that out there so folks can go out there.
Well, they got it on Main Street now.
The restaurant on 10th and State has shut down, so now it's a little bit closer to my house, so I can always stop by there and get some. But Mike, before we get out of here, again, I want to remind everybody that if you come into Las Vegas, trust me, they are very, very, very much adamant about you wearing your mask. If you think that you're going to walk around this casino or the city without being masked up, you got another thing coming. So if you're coming in town just to hang out or just to get away, make sure you bring your mask stuff, because they are serious about that here. But, Mike, I don't know if you know about Klay Thompson. He suffered another season injury, season-ending Achilles tear on his right leg this time around. And want to get your thoughts on that.
That's a tough deal. That's a tough deal, you know. And I guess he was playing pickup ball when it happened, and which, you know, I have to have a question mark or a raised eyebrow on that. I mean, I don't know if it was under supervision or what, but, you know, it's as you know, the Achilles ain't no joke. You know, we saw Eric Berry deal with that when he was with Kansas City, and some other guys who've had that injury, and they just weren't quite the same when they thought they were healthy. So hopefully – it doesn't bode well for him coming off this injury he's having and now to deal with this injury, and to be out for the season. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for him.
Yeah. And that's the thing, Mike, because last year, in the NBA finals, he tore his Achilles tendon, on his left leg, during the finals against the Toronto Raptors, and of course sat out all this past season. And of course with the COVID and the extended break, you would think that he had a chance to become 100% healthy. And the fact that he tore his right one up in the pickup game that he had the other day, I mean, makes me wonder, you know, where he was at in the recovery factor, because of course the season is scheduled to start in just a matter of a month or so. And so that's something, you know, as well that, you know, that the Golden State Warriors obviously wasn't prepared for. Now, they did draft a great kid in James Wiseman. He's probably going to be playing center. You got Draymond that's going to be a power forward. You got Andrew Wiggins that's still out there. I don't think they couldn't make a trade for him during the draft or whatever. And now I believe they're going to sign Kelly Oubre from OKC. So, you know, that'll be someone that can fill in. Obviously, he can't do what Klay Thompson did, because not many people can. But do you think that pickup is gonna be suffice for what they're going to be trying to do in bringing him to
the Wiseman
bringing
kid,
him from
right?
OKC
no,
to go to state?
Wiseman. Yeah, because I know he left Memphis under some crazy circumstances, you know, which I thought was a stretch, to be honest with you. But, and that's why I say physically it's going to be tough for Klay Thompson to come back and be who he is. And him just being older and having not played, and this young kid, if he, you know, lives up to the draft spot he was drafted in, you know, he can make some options for that team that may not include Klay Thompson.
Yeah, so, of course, again, the Warriors are finalizing a trade to acquire Oklahoma City Thunder forward Kelly Oubre Jr. For a 2021 protected first-round NBA draft pick. Mike, before we get out of here, how can people get a hold of you on social media?
M. Coleman 4 on Twitter. I took myself off of Instagram because I hardly use it, but some friends were like, hey, I think you've been hacked. So I got rid of that. And Facebook. That's where I'm at. I'm just simple. I'm not hard to find. And if I was in Kansas City, I'd say you could find me in a line at Gates Barbecue, but since I'm not, you won't find me there.
Got you. Well, look, give Gina all my best. Appreciate you coming on. Look, we got
right, again, my man.
This Sunday, once again, Chiefs, Raiders, Sunday Night Football, 7:20 kickoff time. Of course, you can follow us on Sports Radio 810 WHB post game. Joshua Briscoe will be on for a couple of hours to, you know, following the Chiefs win on Sunday against the Raiders. Join me back tomorrow on ESPN Kansas City, along with Steve Walls and Sterling Holmes, that will bring you Darren and Sterling on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. So until then, until next time, please, 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 social distance, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, stay safe. So until next time, we'll be off next week, obviously, because it is Thanksgiving. So I want to wish everyone a happy holiday as well in advance. So until then, God bless. Have a good night. Thank you so much.